This is the Talent, Sales, and Scale Show.
Can I get people to buy without having a salesperson involved? And it really depends upon the product, the complexity, how much of a discount does a customer need? So if you've got the largest company in the world and you're going to buy a version of Slack for everybody in the company, then you don't want to pay whatever list price might be for that. You're going to end up negotiating a discount, and you're probably going to want it tweaked and matched to some of the other features or products that you have in the house. So there's probably going to be a lot of conversations to go on, and we need a salesperson to do that. So I think a fair rule of thumb, I usually use a rule of thumb that says, if your product's not worth at least $10,000, you shouldn't have a salesperson. But I think the next one is, if your product is, you know, if you're going to make a single transaction that looks like it's $1 million or more, you probably have to have a salesperson.
So that's interesting, because there's a lot of people out there that are selling products or services that are only, you know, $7,000 to $10,000. So they have salespeople, you know, high volume off of that. So help me understand, why no salesperson on something less than $10,000?
Oh, it's just the economics of it. $7K, if you're moving it fast, they're inside sales, you can have a low cost of sales that way. Maybe that's reasonable. But typically, I think if I'm going to have an outside salesperson, it's usually really expensive to land a customer. And so you want a good return when you end up landing your customer.
Yeah, good point. For an outside salesperson, absolutely. And I've been dealing with so much inside salespeople, like full cycle, because it seems to go that rate. If you're not getting a $7,000 to $10,000 contribution margin, then you cannot have a split sales team, meaning an SDR, BDR over to AE, blah, blah, blah. So if you're not at that $7,000 to $10,000 contribution margin, then you need full cycle. But yeah, if you're outside sales, those are the most costly type of salespeople, because they're not doing high volume prospecting. They're doing more business development. So that tends to need to be like that $50,000 to $100,000. Don't even think about it if you're an outside salesperson, if you're only doing 10, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's a fair rule. Okay. I mean, these are all, it all depends on what our cost of sales ends up being, but right. Yes.
Okay. Now, what else should we know? I mean, I think I know what you're going to say here, but how do we best do step number one, which is understanding how our customer perceives value aside from that value table? Because there's going to be a lot of work and effort to really build out that value table. So how does somebody go about getting the knowledge to properly fill out that knowledge or that value table, as opposed to just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what works?
Yeah. So step one is let's do 3 rows or 10 rows of a value table. Don't imagine you have to fill it out completely. And what are your 10 best features? If you got to go up and show up and throw up, if you were going to spew your best stuff, what are those features? And then why did you build the feature? What problem does it solve? What are the problems that people have who get excited when you talk about that feature? And so if we could just build those 10 rows out, it takes us a long way towards learning how to sell value.
Now, how much do we do off of that value table in identifying the problems that it solves for? How much do we niche down to the persona? Because what I find is that most organizations try to sell too globally the same way to everybody, as opposed to looking at the different perspectives of each and every persona. Because if I'm a senior level executive that is going to have influence over this or decision-making over this, I'm going to look at this from a completely different perspective than the end user or somebody that's just impacted from it. So how much do we need to do a value table per persona, or just overarching, that can identify specificity for that persona?
Yeah. So in the ideal world, we're either going to do one per persona, or we'll have a column that says, these are the personas that this fits.
Okay.
But here's the real key. And we didn't go into much depth in the third step of the process here, by the way, the value conversations. Uh-huh. The real key is, if you gave me a really huge value table, what I'm doing is, when I go in and have a conversation with a potential buyer, I'm asking them, what's important to you? What problems do you have? What kind of results might you achieve? What else are you looking for? And what I'm doing is I'm hearing those words and I'm thinking, oh, that's over here on the value table. Oh, that's over here on the value table. And then they forgot to say two or three that I think that this type of persona might really like. I might mention those and say, well, is this important? Do you find this important? So in truth, that value table isn't, it is not, here's what's important to this buyer. It's here's what could be important to this buyer. Now let's go have the conversation and learn what's really important to the buyer.
And it goes back to what you were doing earlier, is you had those value conversations by asking proper questions, and you're suggesting those proper questions are directly out of these this value table. So it's almost like a feedback loop, if you will.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. But the key is when I go in and I ask you a bunch of questions, and what problems are we hoping to solve and what kind of results are we hoping to achieve? And you give me this list and we get to the end, I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, okay, which of these do you think is most important? And yeah, you give me one.
Correct.
Now what I'm going to do as a good salesperson, I should have the business acumen to say, okay, this one's the most important. Let's figure out what's this worth to your company when we fix this problem.
Yeah, so let's take that and put it more in a sales perspective. So let me agree with everything Mark said, but move up that timeline with what he's suggesting. So whenever you are having that exploratory conversation and you're trying to understand how they perceive value. So really that perception of value is, what are they doing today and what problems are resulting from what they're doing today versus where would they like to be? And what's the gap of where they are today versus where they'd like to be? And that's going to be the ROI that we're really talking about. And then that value table allows you to your solution to solve those problems and for you able to lay down the breadcrumbs for them to see it. And that's all going to be you leading them through the questions during that value conversation. So that's the way I would convey this to somebody that I was coaching or training. Is that a fair summary, Mark?
Spot on. You just nailed it. You just nailed it. The only thing I want to make sure that we covered that I don't think you implied, but you might have, we're never giving that value table to a customer.
Right.
That is just for us.
Hey, would you do my job for you? Read this and let me know what you like.
Right.
I like that way. That's product-led growth. We could just do it that way. I love it.